So, welcome to the last class. If you remember, we did them out of order, so even though this is Chapter 6, it is the last one. And Jeff and Sally are in California closing on their house. And I once heard a story about a couple who, after many, many hard years of working, finally reached retirement age. And to celebrate, they decided to go down to Florida. So they were down at the Keys, and one morning they woke up and were walking along the beach, and they found this bottle. And they picked it up and rubbed it, and this genie popped out, and it's a true story. And he said, "I'll grant you both one wish." And I said, "What happened to three wishes?" "Well, the economy, you know." So the wife turned to her husband. She goes, "I would love to be on this beautiful tropical island with the man that I love." Poof. All of a sudden, they're on this tropical island with pure white sand, aqua water, just clear as can be. You hear the animals and the birds in the background, nice cool breeze coming off the ocean. Just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And the husband said, "Well, I want to be with a woman that's 30 years younger than me." Poof, he was 95. So you need to be careful what you wish for. But some people sometimes think that God is like that genie, that he's just up there waiting to zap us. And we've done something wrong, and he's going to throw down lightning bolts into our lives and tribulations and trials. And that is so far from the truth. It's just completely opposite. God loves us. So why do trials and temptations, why do temptations enter into our mind? And why do we have to go through trials? Well, that's what the last class is about, and to teach this class is going to be Gary Collard. So, Gary, come on up. And before I step down, does anybody need a book? Okay. Gary?
Good evening, my brothers and sisters in Christ, those that I know and those that I don't know. It's always good to be able to share with brothers and sisters in Christ. So I look out in the crowd and I see different people that I know and the experiences we've had, and it's a tremendous opportunity to get to know different people there's a lot of things on my heart tonight that I probably won't share them all. I don't have the time, but there are some things that I would love to share. So we're gonna go through the book basically, and there will be some other scriptures that I'll add to the screen that Thomas he'll put up there. But the ones that I give that are different, I'll ask you to turn to those scriptures. So if you'll bear with me, as the Lord would have us to bear with and to endure through trials and temptations. Trials and temptations. What a difficult subject. It's not an easy thing. Trials that we go through, temptations that we go through, they happen to every one of us. You know, and it's interesting because you can look at that, and the world would say that they go through trials and temptations, and I'm sure they do. We go through trials and temptations, and for us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we immediately become a target of the enemy, and we become a target so that we will go through trials and temptations. They're difficult. And the difficult thing, I think, for people, for me, different people that I've seen, is that just as soon as you get through one trial or temptation, there's another one that follows. So from the beginning of your relationship with Jesus Christ till the end. You will go through trials and temptations. I will go through trials and temptations. And I rejoice in the Lord that I have friends and brothers in Jesus Christ that I can go to, that I can share with, that I can tell them about my trials and my temptations. And we need to be upfront and honest about these things, because these things, some people have struggled in their faith, walked away from the faith, and not been able to keep running the race. So the topic here is growing pains. So the growing pains are experienced through trials and temptations. I experience them. You experience them. Every Christian experiences trials and temptations. And so that's kind of a basic introduction. But there's so much to be said about this. And our brother James was so appropriate and so much that he had to say. But let's read this first part. It says, because you're growing in your faith, your old way of living is no longer fits. You need to replace the natural impulses, the old patterns of behavior with new attitudes and new desires. The Bible describes this as a new nature that God has created in you, the apostle said in his letter to Colossians. So let's turn in your Bibles to Colossians. And you can go ahead and turn there, because along with what Thomas is going to put on the screen, even before what was here and written in the New Living Translation by our brother when he wrote the book, it kind of starts in verse 7 in chapter, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong book here, but in chapter 3 and verse 9. So it says, as those who have been in verse 12, it says, actually we're going to start in the verse verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So there is this old self that we struggle with. We will struggle with until we see Jesus, and we'll be delivered from that old self. And there is this path that we have to walk, that the Lord has for us to walk, and we walk through trials and temptations. In the book of 1 Peter, we're going to go through some scriptures later on 1 Peter, but before we do, one of the things that I love this topic, and when I first considered what they asked me what I wanted to teach, and I thought, well, this, I love this topic, because it's a difficult topic, because the same word that in the Greek that is used for temptation is the same word that's used for trials. So we get one or another's different interpretations of what this word is, and so it's interesting that in the same scripture in James that you have in the very beginning, where it says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. Then you have the same word that's used when, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. So the same words used when Jesus was tempted, when he was, the tempter came out to tempt Jesus, okay? But he wasn't tempted. He didn't fall into sin because he was above sin, because he relied on his Lord and Savior, because he was not one who could fall into sin. He was the perfect Savior. So beautiful, beautiful picture of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who is an example for us. And James, it says, let's turn to James and And James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. It says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not just hearers who deceive or delude themselves." Once you become a Christian, God gave you the Holy Spirit to help you and to live and grow in your spiritual nature. As you begin to live and learn, change will come. Now, understand this. This isn't a spiritual improvement program. Now, when we try to live a godly life on our own strength, we fail miserably. God wants us to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit and not our old sinful nature. So on this path, we have the promised one, the Holy Spirit himself, the one who will come in alongside us and teach us and help us in our trials, in our tribulations. So we have the benefit of all benefits. We have the prize of all prizes. We have the one who would help us and encourage us through any and every tribulation and trial that we go through. There is no trial. There is no tribulation. There is no temptation that we go through in which Jesus will abandon us, but he will always be there. And so the scriptures are very clear about that. And we need to know, we need to be assured and reassured over and over, and we need to hear that over and over from the Word of God and from one another, that Jesus is here, the Holy Spirit is here, the Holy Spirit is here to help. In 1 Peter, one of the scriptures that really jumps out at me, and it's in 1 Peter 4, 1 through 2, I'm going to say that for, well, actually, let's go back to Colossians 3, 8 through 9. It says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self and with its evil practices and put on a new self as being renewed to true knowledge." But now, in Colossians, or 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2, it says that, "Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live in the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God." And we had, I'm not sure who taught it, and I wish I would have been able to make it to all the lessons when different people taught that, but one of them was about knowing God's will. And we need to know God's will. And God wants us to know his will. And when we face temptation, we need to know how to resist the devil in our temptation. We need to know what the word of God would say to us even in our trials, okay? So I am really excited when Jesus, when he begins his ministry, before he begins his ministry, he is sent into the desert, and he is tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And after those temptations, he resists the devil with what? The word of God. He resists the devil with the word of God. So God wants us to know his will. He wants us to know his word so that when those temptations come, when the tempter comes, or he sends his emissaries, his demons or demonic forces, as it says in Ephesians, when those forces come within our minds and with our hearts to tempt us to fall or to stray away from the Lord's will, we hear the word of the Lord, we follow the word of the Lord. The voice of the Holy Spirit needs to be stronger, and it can be stronger, but I love the songs that we sing, because when we're broken, and in my life, when I was broken and when I was experiencing temptations, when I have experienced trials, when I was broken, it was when God came and gave me encouragement in his word, gave me encouragement by his Holy Spirit, and came alongside me. And so the Lord wants to do that. And he does that for various different reasons, as we see as we go through this here. But we must, I must, you must, we all must, as Christians, rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't. It's not a Reformation thing where you just say, "Well, I'm going to do it with by your own willpower." Zechariah says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my will," says the Lord. That's for you. That's for me, because it's His might, His power, His strength that will enable you and I to get through what we need to get through, whatever we need to go through, whatever we're facing. And you know, it's a difficult thing to talk about temptations. It's a difficult thing, maybe sometimes lesser to talk about our trials. We all face trials. They happen day in and day out. As we go on through the day, there are different trials. But we know different people in the Scripture, and so God gives us all, this is a beautiful thing. He gives us these heroes of the faith. He gives us David. He gives us Moses. He gives us all the people of the Scripture. Job, he faced trials, okay, a trial in his life. His wife asked him, "Curse God and die," right? Well, he didn't do that because he didn't understand why he was going through what he was going through, but he did not curse God. He didn't understand, and we don't always understand. I don't always understand. It's a difficult thing to go through trials, and each one of us is going to go through something, maybe something similar, but all of us are going to go through something a little bit different probably too. Like, I'm not living in a tent. I lost my job, and I went through a trial this year losing my job. That's a difficult thing, to lose your job and not know where you're going to get what you're going to do next. So those are all difficult things that we go through. This brings us to the topic of the session. Some Christians mistakenly think that following Jesus means they are leaving all their problems behind, that life will be filled with blue skies, green lights, and that's not the case. As a follower of Jesus, you will encounter trials and temptations. The good news is that for the child of God, even the painful or unpleasant experiences to serve a purpose in our faith to grow. So along with these three things, the difference, there's a difference between a temptation and a trial. And there is also what we want to learn is, how do we resist temptations? And how do we persevere in trials? Every person goes through temptations and trials. I think that's really important. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that talks about how the eyes of the Lord test the hearts of men. There's so many things in which we are constantly going through testing. How many like tests? Yeah, raise your hand. Like tests? Yeah. So every day is a test. When we go to work, it's a test. When we deal, and the thing that I wanted to share tonight, one of the things that is on my heart, is that when we go through relationships with people, each relationship we have with another person, there's going to be trials. There's going to be tests that we're going to go through. There are going to be, sometimes if we have lots of difficult things happening during that day, we become tempted. So even though in the book of James, this is used back and forth, I think our brother James understood that we will go through trials and we will go through temptations, and yet God wants us to persevere. He wants us to go on through. He wants us to see beyond what we're going through and to rejoice in Him. So the other thing I wanted to share and that I want you to learn is that there's a mindset. My wife and I have been watching a movie series, and we just finished it, and near the end of the movie series, one of the conclusions was, 'tisn't right, 'tisn't fair, 'tisn't fit, 'tisn't proper. So you see the rich people in the movie say that. You see the poor people say that. You see the main character, you know, they are living a life in their life where it looks as though 'tisn't right, 'tisn't fair, 'tisn't fit, 'tisn't proper. Now, you know, if we go through life and say we lose our child, like he lost his child, that's a trial. And say we lose a friend, or say a friend moves from one place to another place, that's difficult because we need friends. I need friends. I like friends. I like Jeff. And I like to hear what our friends have to say to us. And I need to hear what I need to hear from my friend. And it's a beautiful thing, I think, when we look at the book of Revelation and see that this will be the tribulation of all tribulations that people will go through. And to have that joy and that knowledge that we don't have to go through that because we will be raptured, we'll be caught up. And yet, there are in those churches that he's preaching through today, or the last few weeks, and he talked about the church to Thyatira and how the lady would be cast upon a bed of sickness. When someone gets sick, that's a trial. That's a tribulation. And he talked about the church of Smyrna, the church of Smyrna, and how there was nothing bad said about the church of Smyrna. But the encouragement to them, persevere through. Don't give up. So one of my favorite scriptures is, consider it all joy, as it says in James, and this is in these scriptures here. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Okay? So I want to stop to pray. And along with this prayer, remember Jesus in the Lord's Prayer said the daily. We need to pray this. Do not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. That's the last thing he said in the Lord's Prayer. So, the Lord wants a new nature. And whether it's a trial or whether it's a temptation, his new nature will become worked out in us. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you. And we thank you that you know what trials and what tribulations and what temptations that each one of us has been through and will go through as we continue on our walk with you. And we thank you that you promise in the scripture that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that you will be with us, that you will strengthen us, and that you will pick us up when we're down, when we fail, and you will encourage us. So I thank you for your encouragement. And Lord Jesus, we pray that as the family of God, that we as brothers and sisters in Christ would be able to come alongside one another and to encourage one another, to pray for one another. And we do thank you for Jesus, your example in the garden of how all your disciples, all those that were following you fell. They couldn't continue in prayer, and they weren't ready for the time when you would be persecuted and given up for death. And yet, Lord, you persevered through it, and you were faithful. So we praise you, Jesus, that you were faithful. And we pray that, Lord Jesus, that you would help each one of us in whatever trial and temptation that we find ourselves in to be faithful to follow you. For Lord Jesus, it is a difficult path that we find ourselves in sometimes, but you are faithful to be there, and you're faithful to send friends. You're faithful to always be there in whatever way. And so I pray that, Lord, you would meet the needs of each child of God here tonight, that whatever trial that they go through, whatever temptation they go through, would be met in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, God's given you his Holy Spirit, and you can grow in your new nature as you need to know. Your old nature will still fight for control. So there's always going to be that fight between whether you're going to follow the Lord or not. You know, in the scripture in the Old Testament, we hear of men that turned to the right or they turned to the left. They didn't keep straight. So I have a friend of mine who's going to I get to see, and I'm excited about seeing him, who has lived in Texas. And I remember he came back one time and he said, and I'll never forget it, he'll say, we gotta stay straight. We gotta stay straight. And the Lord wants us to stay straight. He wants us to be strong. But I can't be strong on my own. I have to come to that place where I'm broken. And I have to come to that place where I finally cast all my cares upon him. I trust in everything for him to help me to see why I am where I am, why I need to go where I need to go, and to follow his path. So in discovering the difference between Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So he wants us to be strong. He wants you to be strong. He wants us to be strong. And we can be strong, but only by the power of that third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit moves within us and as he fills us with his love. Now, one of the scriptures that I love and I think is so important is in Romans chapter 5. And we sang about it tonight, but I think there can't be enough said about this, okay? It says, and just as it says in James, to rejoice in your tribulations and rejoice and consider it. We need to have a different mindset. The Lord wants us to have a different mindset. The Lord wants us to understand. In James, it says in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him there is no variation or shifting shadow. The Lord wants to impart his love, his grace into our lives. And James is concerned because he knows that sometimes when we face trials that we want to give up, that we don't want to go through it, okay? And so he says, you need to endure, you need to go through. But in Romans chapter 5, it says, and not only this, but we also exult. We rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So ultimately what happens at the end is God fills us with his grace and with his love. So every trial you face is an opportunity to trust God. Sometimes, however, you may feel angry or think God has deserted you. You're being tempted and turn your back on God, or you miss out what you want to develop. But Jesus said, John 10, the devil is a thief who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So in our temptations, the enemy wants to detour our path so that we begin to die. Things are stolen from us. And we're destroyed, as Jeff prayed that the enemy would not do that. And the Lord does not want us to fall into our temptation so that would happen. James 1:13. Let's read that. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. And he himself does not tempt anyone. The verse above it says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial.
Blessed is the man who has been approved. Once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. In 1 Peter, through the entire book of 1 Peter, there is this ongoing over and over talk about why trials come in our lives, why we suffer, why people, you know, that's a big question. Why do people suffer? Why do Christians suffer? Why does a good man suffer? And it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. In this you rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, it's like a fire. And later in 1 Peter, he will talk about how it looks like a fire to you and that you're going through a fire. But, and even in James, it says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive or delude or lead yourself astray. You know, you don't want to be, he says, that man that looks himself in the mirror, once he goes away, he forgets what kind of a person he was. He wants us to remember. And as Jesus was tempted, as he was tempted in the desert, he gave a response. Man shall not live by bread alone. When he says, you can, you're the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, well, you just turn this rock into bread. He says, well, man doesn't need to live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So we need to learn how to resist temptation. And the only way to learn to resist the temptations is we must learn to that Jesus is our example. And every answer, whenever we need to resist the devil, is in the Word of God. And every time when we suffer, whenever we go through a suffering, he is our example. Peter makes that clear as an example of suffering and patience. In James, as an example of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You've heard of the endurance of Job and seen the outcome of the Lord's deed, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. So, and we sang those songs tonight. His mercy. He wants to fill you and I with his mercy. He wants to fill you and I with his grace. James says that, you know, he wants his spirit to dwell in us, but he gives a greater grace. We sing about being humble. He wants to fill you and I with a heart of humility. So he says, submit therefore to God. It doesn't do me any good, doesn't do us any good to resist the Lord. We need to resist the devil and humble ourselves before the Lord. And that is very important. The flesh refers to our old nature, which is influenced by in the world. In James 1, 14 through 15, we learned that temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires. This and evil desires lead to evil actions, and evil actions lead to death. So it's interesting. He said earlier in that scripture, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, but once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. So if we persevere in a trial or a temptation, we receive the crown of life. But if we give in to temptation, the enemy wants that. He wants us to steal, kill, and destroy, and he will detour us on the path that the Lord has for us. And if we continue to do that, we continue to go through a test, and we don't learn the test. And James, I think, is concerned. He's concerned that he wants us to pass the test. Just over the years, we have a little thing with the men's Bible study group where we have a people send different texts, and one came across, I think it was today or yesterday, about examining your faith, yourself in the faith, to see whether you have the faith. Constantly, the Lord wants us to look and to test ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's turn to that, because that's a very important one, and we need to know that we're all in this together. There's, Solomon said, there's nothing new under the heaven. And when it comes to temptation, same thing. No temptation, verse 13, has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. It's nothing new. They're all common. Same temptations, but it says this and this. This is what we need to know, and this is what we need to realize when we're in the heat of the moment. You know, we're in the heat of the summer, and if you're in a race, you're in the heat of the race. I would talk about that more because my son-in-law is going to run a 100-mile marathon, which is crazy, I think. But he is faithful. And he says, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape also that you may be able to endure it. So again, in a temptation, whether it's a test, whether it's a trial, he wants, the Lord desires, and he's pleased, and he desires for us to endure those temptations. James 4, 7 through 10. James 4. This is, I kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. Submit therefore to God. Right before that, remember I said the thing that God wants to, he wants to build grace in our lives. He says, but God gives a greater grace. God wants to give. He's a giving God. He wants to give grace. And that's why we go through trials and temptations. That's why there are tribulations in our life sometimes. Sometimes we bring tribulations and things into our life that we shouldn't because of our temptation. But he wants to give us his grace. He wants to give us his humility. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will exalt you. So what a promise. A promise for you, for me, for the entire family of God, that the world does not have this promise. It doesn't have the promise that he will lift us up. He will exalt us. Okay? Discover how to persevere in trials. Usually our first response to difficulty is to ask, why me? You know, I say that all the time, and I get into a kind of a pity party. My wife, bless be my wife, she tells me, you're going through one of those pity parties again. And so she confronts, she doesn't let me do that anymore. And so that's good. Why me? Again, it's that same mentality I was talking about. Tisn't right. Tisn't fair. Tisn't fit. Tisn't proper. But the Lord wants us to have a different mentality. Consider it all joy when you encounter. And that word encounter means you're faced with all. It's like you're in the middle of an arena and everybody's shooting arrows at you, or insults, or whatever it is, all around you, and you're in the heat of the battle because you're the target of everyone, or just like Jesus was on the cross. Everybody there, except for very few, were aiming insults. The one on the side of the cross, you know. Jesus began with suffering and trials, and he was tempted, but he didn't give in to it. But the greatest temptation, the greatest suffering he went through, you know, and he went through a lot because from the beginning of his ministry to the end, he was constantly facing suffering and persecution as people chased him down and accused him and did all kinds of things like that. But was when he was at the cross. And he could have given up. But did he? No. So we cannot equate anything, any trial that we go through with anything that is even close to our Lord and Savior, because he endured it all so that you and I could have life, so that we would have an example. For he himself was tempted in that to which we are suffered, so that he might come to our aid. And that's what's so important and so beautiful. And I want to go to the scripture, because I've already gone through these scriptures here, but doubt and like temptation. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7, this is so powerful, so wonderful. When God builds his grace and his love, his hope, his faith, the faith that he will give and pour into your life from your trial and your tribulation and your temptations, he wants to do something here so that you can be something, a benefit and comfort to other people. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." Again, he's the Father of mercies. He wants to fill us with mercy. "And the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also ours is our comfort abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort." So, you know, we sometimes you wonder, well, why am I going through this? Well, Paul realized that he was afflicted so that he could be a minister of blessing and comfort to other people. It is for your comfort. It is for your salvation. "Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring." Again, do we want to be used by God? And we need to endure. We need to endure. "The effective patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that you also are sharers of our sufferings, so that also you are sharers of our comfort." And I think of the one scripture in the first chapter of Romans, when it says, "For I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift." Again, whenever you get to share with someone, and it's a wonderful thing if you're not a part of a Bible study group or a 242 group, I encourage you to, because he says, "I long to be with you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you." So what a wonderful setting in which we can bring our trials and tribulations to the family of God, to the people that really care about us, and share with those people and be honest and upfront, this is what I'm going through. And that's I missed that in our men's Bible study. But we have a faithful brother that's taking it over, my brother Thomas. So I trust that he will carry the torch as the Lord would show him. So it's really important, though. We need his comfort. And when we are comforted by Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit, we can pass that on to other people who are going through similar situations. So whether it's a temptation, whether it's a trial, through those temptations, I can remember the temptation that as a young man, I idolized my uncle. And I wanted, he cussed like a sailor. And I began to have the temptation to let myself fall into that. And I was mowing my grandma's lawn, and I just cried out. You know, I knew the scripture, "Whoever calls upon the Lord, he shall be saved." And I cried out, and he just delivered me from that. Any temptation to take the name of the Lord in vain. You know, that's one of the commandments. And all the commandments here, do not turn to the right, do not turn to the left, but walk straight. It's any one of the commandments. And the Lord wants us not to take his name in vain. He doesn't want me to take his name in vain. And so he delivered me from that. And that was early on in my Christian walk with Jesus. So I can say, so when I went to work in the oil field, it was not a temptation for me. So many people, it's hard for them to go in a situation where there's constant taking the name of the Lord in vain. I had a brother in Christ that I work with at Mesa. He came up to me last night, and he was just talking about how people, they were looking at the baby Jesus, and they were calling, why would this baby name himself a curse word? They don't even understand that this is Jesus, the Savior who came. Now, everybody knows the name of Jesus when it comes to cussing, but they don't know who Jesus is. And Jesus wants us to know who he is and be able to comfort others. And so when the Lord delivers us, other people need to know. They need to know. They want to know. They need to know that people are going through things, and we need to wait and see what the Lord will do, because he wants to do many things among his people. John 16:33. I know I talk quite a bit, huh? Sorry, Jeff. John 10:16:33. Jesus says this: these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Again, we're going to go through tribulation. We're going to go through trials and temptations. But take courage, I have overcome the world. So if he has overcome the world, and if we are following Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we are truly disciples of Jesus Christ, we can call on him. We can call on other brothers in Christ. And we can go through those trials together. Okay? Luke 6:47-48. Jesus had just finished saying, why do you call me Lord? Lord. And you do not do what I say. You know, I don't want to be that servant that Jesus says, I don't know who you are. And James, I think he was concerned about that when he wrote the book of James, when the Lord laid it on his heart to write it. He says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show him who he is like. He's like a man building his house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when the floods arose, the river burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been built well. So, so much I want to share, but oh well. Psalm 55:22. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. In Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So I can't on my own strength and on my own power make my path straight. I can't. And, you know, I remember when I was in just young and junior high reading about Benjamin Franklin, and he was writing these things out, but he was not able to follow that. We can't follow a path of righteousness without the power of the Holy Spirit and without the Word of God and without him intervening in our life. And when we come to that place when we're broken, then he can begin to work in our life. He is our workmanship. It's nothing I do. It's what he's doing in each one of us. I can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it on our own strength, our own power. And Isaiah 41:10 talks about the fear that we experience in this. I want to end it with one other scripture after this, but in Psalm 41:10, Or I'm sorry, Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and surely I will help you, and I will surely uphold you with my righteous hand. So he is there. Jesus is there. The last scripture I want to share that I skipped over is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. These are things that I like to meditate on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 18. Paul says, the Holy Spirit says through Paul, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the surpassing greatness of power of God may be of God, not be from ourselves. Power of God is not from ourselves, not anything that I do. It's something that he gives. We are afflicted in every way. We're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despairing. I just don't understand why I'm going through this. It isn't right, it isn't fair, it isn't proper. I don't understand, but not despairing. And that's a temptation sometimes that I have, or is I become despairing, okay? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Paul, wow, what a man of an example who was persecuted. David, an example of a man who was persecuted. I mean, people who chase you down to try to kill you, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So the more God would lead you into an arena or a place in which you share the gospel, the more you share the gospel, the more you will become persecuted. The more you live for Jesus and stand up for godly desires, immorality, whatever it may be that you take a stand on and you live in, you will become a target. And so the Lord wants that. I mean, not that he wants persecution, but he does want us to take a stand, and the natural result will be that we will be persecuted. Persecuted but not forsaken. Listen to the men who were persecuted. And it impresses me on a couple things as far as the men Jesse shared about the nine who were overcomers. They wanted to forgive their enemies, people who had wanted to take their lives, were threatening to take their lives, people who forced them to sell their businesses and wanted to ruin their lives, and yet they were wanting to forgive, okay? So they were praying, Father, forgive them, okay? That's impressive. That's a Christian quality, and only by the power of God are they able to do that, okay? Struck down but not destroyed. Well, these people, as we, even in our own country, we're coming to that place where people want to strike down Christianity, strike down people who are Christians. But we will not be destroyed, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. That's where we take up the cross. We're taking up the cross daily. Jesus said, you need to take up the cross daily. I need to take up the cross daily. That the life of Jesus may be also manifested in our body. For we who are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that life, the life of Jesus, you can read about Paul, he in Acts 14, where he was stoned, and then he comes back to encourage the people that were in Lystra again. He's ready to face whatever he has to face. That may also be manifested or mortified. So death works in us, but life in you. So again, that same principle in 2 Corinthians of God implanting life in the lives of others. As we go through trials and as we pass, as we begin to be examined and our faith is examined and we are then put on a pedestal. We're put on not like a witness stand. It's like a witness stand in which other people want to know, how did you get through that trial? Well, it's only by God's grace and only by his love and his power. God wants to use, I love what Emily said, everybody gets to play. And so true. When it comes to trials and temptation, everybody has to play, and everybody gets to play as a minister. And God wants you to be a part. He wants us to be a part. He wants to work the nature, his nature of love into us so that we read about the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. He wants every one of his children to be a hero. Greater than any hero, you know, that we talk about, on TV or the movies that we watch. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes and for the grace which is spreading to more and more people. So it's, again, the grace of God. My grace is sufficient for you, the Lord said to Paul, and he learned that lesson. You know, when things were bad, when things are good, blessed be the name of the Lord. But he learned grace in times of good and times of bad. May cause the giving of thanks to the bound of the glory of God. So I love this next verse. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. You know, we have this tisn't right, tisn't fair, tisn't fit, tisn't proper mentality sometimes that we don't look at the Lord wants us to look beyond. He wants us to walk in faith. And he wants his love to be built within us. So, we're going to split up in groups. Or, I'm not sure, Jeff, do we split up in groups? Okay. And my hope would be that you feel comfortable enough in some group, if not this group, but some group that you can find where you can share your trials and your tribulations, and that you can find solace and you can find comfort and you can find encouragement from Jesus Christ. He has given me encouragement, and we need to encourage one another not to give up the walk with Jesus, because that's the greatest walk we can walk. And no matter how hard it gets, no matter what we go through, no matter what we face, he promises he will be with us. So thank you, brothers. Amen.
All right, so we've completed the START classes. Just real quick, I'm a little bit curious, just by a show of hands, how many people were able to come to all 7 classes? That's awesome. That's great. I want to just, before we close tonight, I just want to give a word of encouragement to everybody. When I first started in ministry, it was 1992, and I just returned to California after having been in the Army, and was planning on going through the Sheriff's Academy and everything, and I rededicated my life and got involved with ministry at Harvest, and wanted to get involved with the follow-up ministry, being a counselor for new believers. And I remember when we took the classes to get involved with this ministry, there were 2 Saturdays, 8 hours each Saturday. It was pretty intense. And once I started, I was just, you know, so thrilled to be with this wonderful group of people who had a heart for new believers and wanted to help them take those first steps with the Lord so that they wouldn't get snatched up by the enemy. They wouldn't get choked out by the things going on in the world, or they wouldn't just, you know, sprout real quickly and then wither away, but they would bear fruit and grow and walk with the Lord daily. And as I started seeing all these wonderful men and women of God that I was serving with, I used to think, man, how cool will it be that I'm just involved this, I'm just this little, you know, guy that's a counselor and helping out new believers. How cool would it be to kind of see what happens behind the scenes? And I used to kind of think that there was like the secret to being a super Christian, if you will. And, you know, I used to think about what it'd be like to be in the inner circle of you know, around Greg Laurie or Chuck Smith or, you know, Billy Graham, the Billy Graham Evangelicals Association. And what I discovered is that, what I thought about was that, you know, there must be some kind of a secret to being a super Christian. If I could just get close to some of these folks and I could discover what that secret was. And I did discover that there is a secret, but it has nothing to do with being in an inner circle of some ministry. You know, you don't have to get close to Jeff to discover, you know, how to be a great Christian. I'm going to tell you what the secret is, and this is my encouragement to you. Everybody turn in their books to Roman numeral 3. It's in the very beginning of the Bible, or the start book, in the very beginning. It's Roman numeral 3. It's like only a few pages in. So here's the secret. Read. Pray. Fellowship. And when the Lord gives you an opportunity, witness. When we meet with new believers, those are the things that we tell them that they need to do and have in order to have a healthy relationship with the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're a new believer. It doesn't matter if you're Billy Graham or Jeff Johnson or, you know, anybody who has a relationship with the Lord. We all need to be doing the pillars of the Christian life. That is the secret. If there is a secret to the Christianity, if there is a secret to having a successful walk with the Lord, it's doing those four things. It's been said that every disciple of Jesus Christ is a Christian, but not every Christian is necessarily a disciple. My encouragement to you after going through these START classes is be more than just saved, a saved Christian. Be a disciple. You know, get into God's Word. Pray. Have that prayer life with Him. Fellowship with other believers. Not just here, you know, in the sanctuary, but outside the sanctuary. You know, with you know, Gary mentioned he has some believers that work that he fellowships with. And when the Lord gives you an opportunity, speak out. And tell people about what Jesus Christ has done in your life. And so that's my encouragement to you tonight. And that, you know, going forth from these classes, that you would just have a goal of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Picking up your cross daily and following Him. Amen? All right, let's